I want you to imagine that you are in a car and you're driving through Lebanon. You're on one of the main streets near the downtown. Maybe you're out on West Main in front of the church, or you're over on South Cumberland headed for lunch at Demos. Or if you're new to this area, I want you to think of a town that you know well. And all of you, get that into your head and start imagining. Now, look at the buildings that you're going past. And think of the businesses that are housed within those buildings. You might see a bank, a donut shop, a movie theater, a barber shop, an oil change place, a car dealership, a garage, a grocery store, a gym, a gift store, and much more. All of these places are part of the economy of the town. Now, you don't need to go inside each of these places to have a good idea of what they do. A bank, we know. They take deposits. They make loans. You go into any bank, there's the teller's windows over here. There's the loan officer desk over here. The oil change place, well, they change oil. At the grocery store, you buy food. At the paint store, you buy paint. If you need some quick cash, you might go to the pawn shop. And Starbucks. We all know you go to Starbucks to use the internet. It makes life easier to know what a particular business does based on the sign that they have out front. Bank, gym, auto parts, barbecue, library, and so on. What if we didn't know what each business did? What if they didn't have a sign out front telling us this? Just think how frustrated you would be if you needed, say, a part for your lawnmower. And you had to go to every business saying, you sell these? You sell these? Nope. And you... Now, get back in your car and start driving again. But this time, you pass a church. And you look at it. What's their business? What do they sell? What are you going to find inside that building? Well, to be honest, it's difficult to guess what you will find in a church. Every church is different. Different people, different preachers, different theologies and practices, different music, different ways of doing baptisms. Even as a church professional, I have a hard time guessing what I would find inside of a particular church if I were to go there. When we look at a business, we do know what we'll find there. Toy stores have toys. Shoe stores have shoes. Gas stations have hot dogs. But what should someone expect to find in front of a church? Well, the answer is simple. What they should find is God. God should be present in that church. We should fully expect to encounter the Holy Spirit, to sense the presence of the divine, to experience something that we can only describe as numinous, to be transported to a realm that is different than the one that we inhabit every day. When we visit a house of worship, we should be disappointed if we don't come away with at least a sliver of the sacred. That is our business. And that is what we should offer here. That's what the word church on the sign out front, that's what it proclaims. God is here. However, when people drive down West Main and they get stopped at the light, which you do every time you drive down West Main, do they sit there and do they look over at our building and think, well, God must be there? And do we, the members of the church, expect to find God every time we come here? Today I'm reading from the book of Revelation. Revelation is the final book of our Bible, and our reading is from one of the closing chapters of that book. And in this passage, the author of Revelation tells of a vision that he has experienced. And in this vision, he beholds a new heaven and a new earth. In this vision, the first heaven and the first earth, they've passed away. In this vision, the holy city of God, which he calls the New Jerusalem, it has descended from heaven. And in this vision, he hears a great voice which announces, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them." And the voice goes on to say, "God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." What we discover in this reading is the crowning fulfillment of the great covenant that God made with Abraham hundreds of generations earlier. You will recall that I preached on that covenant back before Easter during Lent. God called to Abraham and Sarah and promised them a great nation of descendants, even though they had no children at the time, if they would worship the Lord. This covenant is made, and God is faithful to the covenant. Abraham and Sarah, they do have descendants, but however, these people fail time after time to hold up their end, and they turn their backs on God. God persists, however, and each time brings them back into the fold. But the people, they just wander away again. And finally, God comes to us in person as the Christ. And in the ultimate observance of this covenant, God gives his own life to honor this covenant. And now, here in Revelation, at the end of our scripture, we read of the culmination of this covenant in this vision of a new heaven and a new earth. The old has not been discarded or erased, just improved. It's new. If you ask people what happens at the end of the Bible, many of them may tell you that the faithful are taken up in this event known as the rapture. But that's not what we read here. The rapture has very little basis in Scripture, a phrase in 1 Thessalonians. To me, the rapture is just a fantasy of how, in the end, the righteous will be rewarded. In other words, lead a good Christian life, and you will be taken up to heaven to live in the ultimate gated community, where you'll be safe and separate from the undesirables of the world. But our reading tells us something quite different. In our reading, we discover a reverse rapture in which, instead of the faithful being lifted up, God comes down. It's God who's raptured to us. And the New Jerusalem establishes heaven's foothold on earth. We hear the words, "See, the home of God is among mortals." And then we hear the words that sound very much like God's original covenant with Abraham. God will dwell with them as their God. They will be God's people. And God will be with them. This is the promise of the great covenant, that God will always be with us. When God dwells with us and we with God, what happens? Well, the pain of the old world disappears. God wipes away tears. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. This is what it's like to live in God's holy kingdom. As people of faith, We read this passage and we have to make a decision. We have to decide if this is a vision of things to come, or does it describe things that have already taken place? In God's kingdom, is God's kingdom with us already, or is it some future event that we should anticipate? Now, some will strongly insist that these things have not happened and that they are reserved for the end times. But I will argue that we are already living in the new heaven and the new earth. The kingdom of God is among us, just not fully. Occasionally, we are privileged to catch a glimpse of the kingdom. Normally, we see it in little acts of kindness and of caring. If someone is searching for this kingdom, well, they should find it here. They should expect to find it here in the church. We are a special community. We're not special because we're better. We're special because we're different. We should be different. We should be different from the rest of the world. We are to be a community of faith, living and working and worshiping together in a way that should mirror God's holy kingdom. To the world, we should be the new Jerusalem. We are to demonstrate to the world what the kingdom of God is like and show that it is here. When people come to us, they should sense that this place is different, that we are different. They should see the kingdom in the way that we treat one another and in how we treat others. The way we wipe away tears and display love and care to those who mourn and who cry in pain. We do it not for profit or pleasure, but as our part of being in covenant with God. The church is where we worship and we praise God with joy, where we fellowship with love, and where we demonstrate compassion for all our neighbors. That rapture thing, the nice thing about the rapture is that it's very neat and tidy. The good are set apart from the not good. Everyone gets what they deserve, don't they? But the reverse rapture, it's still messy. Everyone must continue to live in the world together. But it's different because God is here dwelling among us, working with all of us equally. What can we do for those who are driving past our building to let them know that the kingdom of God is open to them? The church is not a business like Walgreens or Cracker Barrel, but we are part of the economy of God's kingdom. Our business is to demonstrate a quality of life that reflects God's kingdom, that tells people God loves you. God is here for you. Amen.